Today, 29th of October 2016, Saturday, for the pleasure of all assembled devotees and by the mercy of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, on one of those auspicious days of Damodar Mass, we are continuing reading with the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, The Killing of the Demon Trinavarta, and going into the pastime of killing the demon Shakatasura, who took the form of a cart. And today we will go through Shloka 5 and 6. And at the end, if everything will work out nicely, we'll show maybe a couple of videos from the Harinams from Snow Russia. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shloka number 5. Nandasya patni krita majana dekam. Vipray krita svastyayanam supajitai. Annadya vasa sragabhishta dhenabhi. Sanjata nidraksham asishaya chadnai. Nandasya patni krita majjanadikam. Vipray krita svastyayanam supujitai. Annadya vasa sragabhishta dhenabhi. Sanjata nidraksham asishaya chanai. Please chant.
Thank you.
Ladies, please. Word by word translation. Nandasya of Maharaja Nanda. Patni, the wife Mother Yashoda. Kritamajana Adikam. After she and the other members of the house had bathed and the child had been bathed also. Vipray by the Brahmanas. Krita Svastyayanam. Engaging them in chanting auspicious Vedic hymns. Supujitai, who were all received and worshipped with proper respect. Anna Adya, by offering them sufficient grains and other eatables. Vasaha, garments. Srak Abhishtadhinudvihi, by offering flower garlands and very desirable cows. Sanjatanidra, had become sleepy. Aksham, whose eyes, Ashishayat, laid the child down. Shane, for the time being. Translation. After completing the bathing ceremony for the child, Mother Yashoda received the Brahmanas by worshipping them with proper respect and giving them ample food grains and other eatables, clothing, desirable cows and garlands. The Brahmanas properly chanted Vedic hymns to observe the auspicious ceremony, and when they finished, and Mother Yashoda saw that the child felt sleepy, she lay down on the bed with the child and until he was peacefully asleep. Purport. An affectionate mother takes care of her child and is always anxious to see that the child is not disturbed even for a moment. As long as the child wants to remain with the mother stays with the child, and the child feels very comfortable. Mother Yashoda saw that her child felt sleepy, and to give him all facilities for sleep, she lay down with the child, and when he was peaceful, she got up and attended to her other household affairs. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakai Chikshuran Miritam Yina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, we've been continuously introduced to the wonderful and amazing Vedic culture, culture of behavior and culture of relationships, spiritual relationships. I remember back in 1989 when first time our official delegation of Soviet devotees went to India. This was a kind of cultural shock, pleasant cultural shock. Because for me, at least for me, I remember very well that I've been reading Prabhupada's books for some time and reading different about different relationships amongst the devotees, amongst the spiritual masters, gurus, munis, sadhus. And there was always mentioning like humble attitude, devotional attitude, service attitude. But being born and raised in atheistic country, really atheistic country, we didn't really had experienced real time warm and so elevated relationships. Yes, our mothers loved us. At least my mother loved me. She cared as best as she could. But what we saw when we visited holy dhams, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Eka Chakra, Puri, it was shocking how deep and how warm and how, you know, personal relationships can be. So when I read now, hear about the brahmanas, about the all the festival atmosphere and like that, now I can relate to that, you know, remembering from my heart the what I saw in the holy dhams. And I remember it was like knocking experience. The boat festival in Krishna Balaram temple, when they flood the temple with water. Wow, it's like out of this world. It's like, you know, they flood the temple and they decorate so nicely with the flower petals, the surface of the water. And then this festival atmosphere, everyone gets wild, you know, in kirtan, and these things like really, really, really deeply penetrate the heart of a devotee. And then you become what? Diseased, sick. You cannot forget those experiences. You're like remembering them. And I know so many devotees, they, you know, after visiting first time Vrindavan, Mayapur, they can't forget that experience. And they dream for the rest of the year, next year, whenever they can afford again, to go and visit those holy dhams. I remember one funny story when back in 1989, one American devotee just approached me and we had a chat. He asked where I am from, what I am doing. And it was funny. He told me, you know what? He just shared his experience. He said, you know what? For an American to come to India, it's like going to hell. I told him, you know what? To a Russian, being a Russian, to come to India, holy dhamma, it's coming like to the heaven. So he was looking and couldn't believe under which conditions the devotees live in Russia. So yeah, it's cold and we didn't knew any fruits except apples, any vegetables except potatoes, cabbages, carrots, and you we were not spoiled. But by a relationship, you can be spoiled. And when you come to the Holy Dharma and you experience really devotional relationship, it's unforgettable for the rest of the year, of the life. And when we read now that, you know, what a big deal. A baby just flipped over, turned around from the back to his belly. And then we know that the baby just tries to push his hands up and tries to crawl and, you know, all the story. What's, like, in the atheistic society, what's a big deal? If you ask mother, what was the day when your baby turned over? I'm not sure. My mother, at least for sure, will not tell me what was the festival day when I flipped over. But we see that in spiritual culture, the proper values being cultivated, proper values. So we see that Kali Yuga is famous for people are valuing improper behavior, being proud. Yeah? For example, you know, more proud, more whatever. I don't know, you're famous or, you know, now. Like now, I think America goes through the pre-presidential elections. And we can see the candidate is like proud, like anything. And it's okay, everyone. A lot of people appreciate a lot. So, you know, and another side of the world, you know, the leaders, they have no, you know, no understanding of culture. They think they can do anything and everything. So it's like kind of disqualifies them. Because when we see, when we read, you know, what the real leader should, it's all about the qualities. It's not about the popularity, about the money, about the military force. No, it's not. It's about the qualities of the character. And we see that, you know, it is said that when the brahmanas are free from envy, untruthfulness, unnecessary pride, free from grudges, disturbance by the opulence of others, and false prestige, then the blessings never go in vain. Otherwise, those things like pride, grudges, enviousness, lying, it takes your treasure, it takes your inner treasure away. So we know that in Kali Yuga, if you are truthful, it's already you are considered a religious person. If you are just truthful, if you just speak truth and its principle of your life, it's already a big deal. Who cares? In Kali Yuga, who cares? Even politicians, top politicians. So this is a big misfortune. This is a big misfortune. And Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, it's where we read that it's although people still claim to be civilized, like yesterday, the last sentence of the purport, although people claim to be civilized, at the present moment, there is actually no human civilization. Maybe it's civilization of computers, cell phones, technologies, yes? But it's not about the qualities. It's about the stuff. Dead stuff. And this cannot be qualified as civilization. So therefore Srila Prabhupada says, only an assembly of two-legged animals. And yesterday Vijay Prabhu mentioned about the Gurukulis who come back to ISKCON after leaving for some time. And I had a program in Chicago in the temple. Devotees have the Sunday Gurukula, Sunday school. And I had two programs with Gurukulis. from what, 6 to 12 years, one group, and then afternoon I had from 12 to 17 years old kids. So the elder ones, teenagers, they asked me, one of the boys asked me, so what was your life, how was your life, how your life looked before Krishna consciousness? And he asked that question, and the mood, was it more fun? Because he was born in devotee family, and he grew up in Krishna consciousness. And he is kind of, you know, anxious about, and what's the life when everything is allowed? You can eat meat and, you know, do whatever you want, and I don't know. And he was asking me. And I could understand that, you know, why young devotees, teenagers, get influenced by the mundane propaganda. You know, seemingly freedom. You can do whatever you want. But this freedom is just very limited to tamogun and rajagun. So it's not actually freedom, it's a, you become bound terribly, terribly. But as a young person, he wants to experience everything, especially when it's so easily available and so falsely advertised. So I told him that, you know, you can try, but you will not enjoy. Now it may look attractive. It's like a mirage in the desert. It looks like water is there, sea, lake is there. But you go and go and go and go and you never reach it. So in the material world, you try to enjoy, and you just fail and fail and fail. And you lose your qualities and you degrade. So those of them who are really serious and who are pious, they come back and they devote themselves then with the full energy to the process of devotional service. So here we see that Mother Yashoda took opportunity right away to celebrate. Yes? Seemingly small thing, a baby flipped over. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada and the purport says, in Vedic society, to have a baby, to have more baby, more children, it was considered you are rich as much as you have children. It was not a burden. It was a festival. It was like proper values being cultivated. And as Vijay Prabhu yesterday told about the abortion, you know, even the religious organizations like Christianity, Catholics, Vatican, you know, they have problem with really, really, really objecting to the abortion. Because the mass population is in favor. And if you act against, you as a religion become unpopular. So they play the hand of the population. But we see that Mother Yashoda, she demonstrates. She is just perfect example of the spiritual Vedic culture. How the Brahmanas, qualified Brahmanas, and Brahmanas were qualified by the qualities, not by the thread, not by the birth, yeah? As the caste system degraded. When the Brahmanas were so proud, claiming their Brahminical qualities by birth, having no qualities actually. And these are mentioned here. Envy. Lord Krishna warns Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita in quite few places. Anasuyavi, abhyasuyate. I am telling this transcendental knowledge to you because you are not envious of me. And somebody may think, I am not envious of the Lord, but I have no time to come to the temple. You are envious of the Lord. You are. If you are not, then you are in favor of the Lord. If you are in favor, you come to the temple and you take opportunity and advantage to worship Him, to pray, to chant for Him. And if you don't take Gita, Bhagavatam, you don't listen, you don't read, you don't chant, that means envious. And that's the simple truth. So, shloka number 6. Autani kautsukya mana manasvini samagatan pujayati vrajaukasa nevashrino dvairuditam sutasyasa rudan stanarti charanav udakshipat. Their liberal mother Yashoda, absorbed in celebrating the Uttana ceremony, was busy receiving guests, worshipping them with all respect and offering them clothing, cows, garlands, grains. Thus she could not hear the child crying for his mother. At that time, the child Krishna, demanding to drink the milk of his mother's breast, angrily threw his legs upward. So this is external situation. Internal situation is that Krishna killed Shikatasura, who took shelter of the cot. Purport. Krishna. Krishna had been placed underneath a household cot, hand cot, but this hand cot was actually another form of the Shikatasura, a demon who had come to kill the child. Now, on the plea of demanding to suck his mother's breast, Krishna took this opportunity to kill the demon. So, it's a very interesting situation that nobody else could detect that the cat is the demon. And what was the purpose of Shikatasura? To crush baby Krishna. To crush. You know, to just drop on the Krishna who was like lying there under. So Krishna thought, oh, you want to be crushed? Okay, I'm helping you. You want to crush me? Okay. Take your chance. So later when children who saw what happened, like in few other cases and pastimes of the Lord, they were like all adults came to the noise because all this cart was loaded with heavy metal utensils. So when the cart was smashed, you know, terrible noise was around. Everyone come near, run to see what happened. And they asked children, what happened? And they said, Krishna kicked with his foot the wheel of the cart and it dropped. They couldn't believe. No adults to believe. Same thing when Lord Indra, by the plea of asking excuse from Krishna after the unsuccessful drowning of the Vrindavan residents, the demigods came to worship Lord Krishna. And they later on, when they left, Lord Indra then gave name to Krishna Govinda. Cowherd men and ladies came there and were asking the children what was going on, because they found some huge stick lying on the ground burning. They said, what was that? They said, one guy with four heads was offering that to Krishna. And you know, all the adults, seniors, they said, the boys are also fantasizing. They found a huge lamp there. They asked where it comes from. And the boy said, one guy with a burning head, Agnidev. And with a burning head, he was offering that to Krishna. And you know, the cowherd man thought, oh, those children are really into the fairy tale world. You know, telling, you know, some fairy tale stuff. So here also, you know, they couldn't believe Krishna. Small baby, just 3 months baby, he can hardly flip over from back to belly. He smashed the cart. Don't tell me that. So everyone was like thinking, oh, this is the bad omens. Some bad planet, Rahu Ketu, attacked our baby. So immediately they took shelter of the Brahmanas, because they fully trusted, they were trustworthy by their qualities. And no Brahmana had to prove, I am qualified. You know, that was the culture, behavior, relevant behavior. And everyone was like, it was obvious. Nobody had to prove, like, now, you know, somebody has to wear something like, you know, some proof that you are a qualified person. No. So therefore, the residents of Vrindavan immediately took shelter of the qualities of the Brahmanas. And then they worshipped the Supreme Lord. So, thus, Krishna kicked Chikatasura just to expose him. And although Krishna's mother was engaged in receiving guests, Lord Krishna wanted to draw her attention by killing the Chikatasura. And therefore he kicked the cart-shaped demon. Such are the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna wanted to draw the attention of his mother, but while doing so, he created a great havoc, not understandable by ordinary persons. These narrations are wonderful, enjoyable, and those who are fortunate are struck with wonder upon hearing of these extraordinary activities of the Lord. So although the less intelligent regard them as mythological, because a dull brain cannot understand them. But these are the real facts. These narrations are actually so enjoyable and enlightening that Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami took great pleasure in them, and other liberated persons following in their footsteps become fully jubilant by hearing about the wonderful activities of the Lord. Yes. So we see that. It is said that when one develops the practice of hearing Krishna Katha, so this is the practice. Such a person, such a devotee, is certainly transcendental to material existence, and it is confirmed by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita himself. Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhayaya kalpati. Unless one is on the spiritual platform, in spiritual consciousness, one cannot enjoy the transcendental activities of Krishna. So, by coming regularly, by attending the classes, by being present in Krishna Katha, we develop the habit. The habit develops into taste, and taste develops into the really enjoyment, relishable ecstasy. So, in other words, whoever engages in hearing the transcendental activities of Krishna is not on the material platform, but on the transcendental spiritual platform. So, Srila Prabhupada said, if you act like a pure devotee, you're a pure devotee. And pure devotee's business is just chant, hear, and remember. Smaranam is our meditation. Smaranam is our dhyana. It leaves such a deep impression in the heart of a devotee. It gives so much pleasure. It relishes those pastimes so much that, you know, naturally he is like, although being in this world, is on the different platform of consciousness. Yes. I also wanted, taking opportunity of the class, wanted to mention one wonderful shloka, which I really relished so much from the previous chapter, because while traveling in some temple with the devotees, we are reading exact same part of the Bhagavatam, sixth chapter of the tenth canto. And I really enjoyed reading how gopis of Vrindavan glorifying Harinam Sankirtan. I always take so much pleasure from different parts of Bhagavatam, different stories, and where different personalities, incarnations of the Lord or liberated personalities, glorify the chanting of the Lord. And they do. Lord Kapila Dev, by teaching his mother Devahuti, he points out the essentiality of the chanting of the holy name. But you just read the sixth chapter recently, and there is shloka 29, where 6:29, where gopis are saying, like the most experienced evil stars, they all create great disturbances, especially for children, but one can banish them simply by uttering Lord Vishnu's name. For when Lord Vishnu's name resounds, all of them, bad omens, planets, rakshasis, yakshas, vinayakas, pishachas, pretas, bhutas, putanas, become afraid and go away. Grantara Shivad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So always have full faith in the protection of the Lord. Always. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. Always be. So we start video. Yeah? Yes. So always, like now you will have quite few Harinams today, tomorrow, then what was that Monday Harinam called? Hell to win. Yes. Yes. Halloween Harinam. Please take full advantage. Please. I'm with you. I have afternoon programs with Russian groups, but I'm really with my heart with all of you. So let's enjoy some hot winter Harinams in Russia.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
thank you.
Shri Hari Nam Sankirtan Ke. Achyuta Prabhu, Ave. Moscow, the city, Park. In winter, in the park, only the devotees enjoy.
Удачи.
Скажите, пожалуйста, Хари Кришна.
Хари Кришна.
Люди разбегаются по-своему.
Say Хари Кришна. The new people that never heard, so they ask.
Вы говорите по-английски?
И по-русски.
Вам нравится то, что здесь происходит?
Ну, мне нравится.
Do you like it?
Do you like the singing? Oh,
yes.
Да. А вот на что это похоже? Как вы думаете?
Это похоже на медитацию.
На медитацию?
Да, это есть медитация.
Медитация. А знаете, что такое Хари Кришна Махамандра?
Да, ну, можно так сказать. Хари Кришна.
It relates to another religion. So then, when we ask to give us a temple, they say no. So, but if you, so devotees developed a very successful Bhaktivriksha program in Russia, in Moscow, and in Moscow they have maybe 150 Bhaktivrikshas weekly going on at home. So the law hit also that, saying that it's illegal to preach at your home, and you can get a fine of $1,000 if you preach at home. So in other words, you can drink vodka at home, you can beat your wife at home, you can, you know, do nonsense at home. All sinful nonsense is okay, is legal. Any sattvic, you know, pious activity, like, say, some friend came to your home and you told him about Krishna, about God. That's it. So what they take opportunity of to restrict that, because usually they definitely send some agent to some program like Bhakti Vriksha, who would report to police saying that, you know, they forced me to listen about God. And it was the case, recently there was a TV program on the federal TV where one ex-devotee lady was blamed openly in the TV that she forced her child to chant and was beating him. And then this lady, she wrote a letter because she said, in that TV program, I was not invited and I was not asked about the truth. Because the truth is that there was a court case with a father. They divorced with a father. And the court legally gave the child under mother's care. But because she was blamed to be a devotee, the father, despite the court favorable decision towards father, he took the child and is not giving the child back to the mother. And the father is quite of heavy demon. So even the anti-cultists took opportunity of that situation and they broadcast it on TV, blaming that mother with all types of mistreating the devotee, mistreating the child, which is not the case and the truth. And it's like even the GBCs of Russia, they wrote a letter saying that, you know, the journalists there on TV program are really corrupted, like openly lying and openly blaming the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So it's type of an attack, ideological, propagandistic attack against the devotees. And also other religious organizations which they cannot control. But devotees are full of enthusiasm there. Still they, you know, will find new ways how to preach and cultivate Krishna consciousness. So it's a you know, really stupid situation. They say you cannot preach outside, you go to the temples, but they don't give you a temple. And for 20 years, devotees in Moscow struggled to get the temple. Nothing helps. So please pray. Please pray for those devotees who sacrifice so much, go against the public opinion, against the heavy propaganda, against the law, which is, you know, demoniac. The law which forbids you to practice piety, religiosity. It's like, in Soviet times, one of my friend devotees was taken to court because of being vegetarian. It was against the law to be vegetarian. Can you imagine? It's like really demoniac. So, anyway, for a Russian devotee to go to India, it's like going to the spiritual world, literally. Grantarachi Mad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaura Premanandi.